Welcome to In Season, where we explore the farms and gardens of the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff, and today on In Season, we are talking with Karen Matthews. She is the Community Garden Coordinator for the Lower Nehalem Community Trust's Community Garden. That's a lot of community there. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. And it is a lot of community.
It is a lot of community. I definitely want to delve into that and talk about that, but maybe give us a little bit of background first on the garden there at the Lower Nehalem Community Trust property. And how it got started, and how you got involved with it.
Yeah, I'd love to. The garden itself is now in its 12th growing season, and we're just a very small part of the trust overall. Mm-hmm. The community garden has about 40 volunteers who each year commit to a season of growing. It's about a 9-month long season. We do a few activities in the winter, but generally 9 months, and each week the gardeners will come and spend 3 hours in the garden, grow for their families as well as the local food bank. And we have a great group of people. I got started originally as a master gardener. I took the master gardener training in 2005.
Through the Tillamook County Extension?
Yep, through Extension.
That's such a great group of people.
It really is, yeah. And I also met a lot of people at the Clatsop Extension at that time. And one of those program commitments is that you give back to your community.
Yeah.
I was tapped then to help start up a community garden at the Trust in Nehalem.
And maybe tell people where the property is located.
Yeah. Well, the original property is Alder Creek Farm, and it's off of Underhill Lane in Nehalem. It's right between Nehalem and Manzanita.
It seems like a no man's land to me. I'm never quite sure which community it's
It is.
In.
Officially, it is unincorporated Nehalem.
Okay.
But it is between those two, and it really serves that whole area, that whole region. And the garden itself is on a 54-acre plot of land that was the original holding of Lower Nehalem Community Trust. That was started as a grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dairy farm, 54 acres, and there was a group of five families who realized that that dairy farm was going to be going away and likely developed into some sort of housing or other land use. And they wanted to preserve that land and put it into conservation for all of the wildlife of the area.
Yeah.
We have a great resident elk herd that is really fun to watch.
Well, but that has to be challenging for gardening.
It is. Now, we have a great big 8-foot fence.
So how much land is fenced off that where you do the community garden?
The community garden is about 1.2 acres, but we have 50 of that 54 acres, 50 of it is in conservation.
Okay.
And is specifically for the flora and fauna of the area. And held an easement, and then the 4-acre remaining portion, or approximately 4 acres, houses a greenhouse, a barn that we use for events, our garden, and a teaching trail area that is used for educational purposes. So it's really all-encompassing. So you can see the garden itself is a small portion of the overall trust.
Yeah. So now how long has the garden been in existence? Because I feel like it's been a number of years now. It's really grown into some maturity, hasn't it?
It started officially. It got tilled in the fall of 2005. We planted a cover crop because it's so important to build your soil. And we are on a total sand base. We're right next to the Nehalem Bay. So that first year of growing season was spring of 2006.
Okay.
And we had a small group. There were only 8 of us that started. And by the end of the year, there were only 3 left.
It's a big commitment.
It is a big commitment. But, you know, it is very rewarding. And we have found over the years now that we have an established program and people can really see the benefits of that growing, learning, and sharing elements that we focus on, what they can get out of it. Because it is an educational program. A lot of people have never gardened, or they've not grown food before.
Yeah.
Or in very
and
limited
scope.
And you
focus on edible plants there.
It is. It's all organic and it's all edible.
And there's a nice orchard that's kind of growing to some maturity now, too.
Yeah. And we have harvested lots of apples. There were some heritage trees there from the original farm. But we have since, over the years, planted a lot of other varieties. We have things that are common, like plums and pears. We actually harvested peaches the last 2 years.
You harvested peaches?
Yes, at
You're
the coast.
You're kidding.
No, it was awesome. Yeah, and they are so good. We have nut trees. We have
And do you harvest nuts from them?
Well, with limited success on those. We're still working on those.
For those.
Mm-hmm. But we have things like quince, lots and lots of small fruits and berries. And so we have a huge harvest of a really wide range of things and some fairly exotic things. We do figs, all different kinds of currants, gooseberry, a couple of varieties. So it's really fun, and it is learning. So I do an educational piece every week. I do a lesson that is seasonally appropriate.
Okay.
So in the first of the year, it may be about starting seeds in our greenhouse. Later in the year, it may be about controlling those lovely slugs and snails.
Yep.
And then, you know, seasonally, composting, how to care for your soil. I am known for my saying of feed your soil and your soil will feed you.
It's such good wisdom. It really is.
Yeah.
And so I also, for people to understand more about what you do there, a lot of times when people think about a community garden, I guess you could say a traditional community garden is a space where there's lots of different individual plots. You maybe have like a 4x8 plot, and that's your plot where you get to plant whatever you want in that. Your take on community gardening is different, where it's more of a communal garden where everyone is working together on one garden, learning and growing together, and then harvesting together as well. So talk about maybe why you guys went with that model.
Yeah, and it is very collaborative. We work together, and people do get to make some decisions because they are part of the whole. We also have plant family groups, so people step up and take responsibility for certain aspects of crop management.
Okay.
But we do all garden together so that we all share in what we learn and what we harvest out of the garden. We garden both on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Some people garden just one day. Some will do both. But
And do you have to be available on those days? It's not something that where you can like drop in and do it on another day.
Traditionally, for the first year, it works better that way.
Mm-hmm.
If a person has a lot of experience, I'm open to discussion and working with people. But traditionally, it works better because you learn from each other. There's not a garden day that I go on site that I don't learn something from someone else. And that is the beauty of gardening collaboratively or communally, is you will pick up tidbits of information from others. I provide an education program, and other people will interject things that they've learned or hands-on, real-life, experiential learnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that sharing part of it that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, oh, well, we share because we give a ton of food to the food bank each year, or nearly a ton. But it's really that whole sharing aspect of sharing the sense of community, sharing what we know in a lot of different elements. And people have become accustomed to really developing friendships in this.
So it's a great way to meet people as well.
It's perfect. Yeah. We have a lot of new retirees that come to the coast looking for things to do. It's a great way for them to get integrated.
And just meet other people who have, at least you share the common interest of gardening, but then you might share other interests as well.
They do.
You can go on to become more integrated in your community. That's a great, I mean, to me, those are the most positive aspects of community gardening. You know, whether you're doing an individual plot or you're doing it as a communal group, is that connection with other people and meeting other people, getting outside and connecting and making friendships.
Exactly. Well, and we have a lot of other opportunities at the trust because, again, the garden is just one element of that. But the trust itself has stewardship opportunities, conservation.
And you do a lot of work with native plants, too. Don't you have a native plant nursery there?
Yes, our stewardship coordinator does a lot of work with that. We started with that initial 54-acre piece of property, Alder Creek Farm.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2002, and since then, so fast forward to, oh gosh, it's 2017 today.
Yeah.
We now have several other properties, I think 8 additional properties, a little over 130 acres.
Wow.
So you can see that has grown quite a bit, and we are in fact looking at a couple other new properties that we can talk about. But having that whole base of properties requires that we manage it in such a way to be good stewards of the land. Mm-hmm. And so people who are interested in maybe dabbling in the garden but really want to be involved in the management of the mm-hmm. natural resources and the natural areas can get involved in stewardship also.
And it's also an opportunity to learn about native plants as well, because there's so many wonderful native plants, if you're interested in gardening, that you can incorporate into your garden as well. Many of them are edible as well, and that's great. But there's also ways that you can do combinations of plants in your garden, and native plants are such a great way to like, especially when you think about wanting to use less resources like water. Native plants are really great to get established and then don't need a lot of additional water.
They are.
And mm-hmm. they're great for wildlife, for native pollinators and things like that. So, just thinking about pollinators, do you keep bees at the farm?
We don't anymore. We did for a period of time, but we decided rather than farming bees, we would encourage the native pollinators. So
wonderful.
We have piles of nesting areas that they are materials that they can nest in. And we do have a pollinator garden. So we try to keep something in bloom throughout the whole year. So that
can be
they will have
challenging.
Something. It is. But, you know, there's an amazing variety of different plants in our area. And we are really very lucky to have mm-hmm. A mild climate here.
Yeah.
As you know, I mean, you can garden throughout the winter. It's a little less active gardening in the wintertime, but if you time it right, and in fact, that's usually one of my lessons in the July time frame. We talk about fall and winter gardening, and people go, wait, it's July.
Yeah.
It's not fall and winter, but...
but that's when you're planting for fall and winter.
Correct.
Yeah, planning.
Correct.
And planning. Well, planning is a lot of what goes into it. And so here we're at the beginning of a new year, and you're looking ahead at a new garden season. So when does your garden season start at the community garden there? When do you get your gardeners involved and get going?
Well, our official garden start is February 25th this year. It's the last Saturday of February every year.
Okay.
And we are looking for new volunteers that want to come join us, as well as all of our returning gardeners.
Do you have a limit on the number of people that can get involved? Or
you know, we
really?
Used to.
Yeah.
We used to. And I think that some people still think we have a wait list because it's a very popular program.
Okay.
And we did have a wait list for a period of time because of the amount of resources that we had to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have since opened that up. We have some people who have stepped up into the leadership role to share that in addition to myself.
Wonderful.
And that has really helped us be able to grow our program and become spread that wealth and the responsibilities for making sure that we take care of all the things that we adopt. So
it's a lot to take care of. I mean, managing, you know, a little over an acre of garden and orchard, that's a lot to take care of. So,
but, you know, it's not hard because we
have
so many
hands.
People.
Yeah,
many
exactly.
hands make light work. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I just want to pause briefly here before we go into finding out more about how people get in touch with you and let people know that they are listening to Coast Community Radio at KMUN 91.9 FM and KCTB. KCPB. I always forget the call letters. It's 89.5 FM in Tillamook. And we're streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you're just listening, tuning in, today on In Season, I'm talking with Karen Matthews. She's the Community Garden Coordinator for the Lower Nehalem Community Trust's Community Garden. And as we said before, there's an awful lot of community involved in that sentence, and there's a lot of community building going on down there in the garden in Nehalem. And we were just talking about the start of a new season and getting volunteers involved. And so if people do want to get involved, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get in touch?
We have a website. It is nehalemtrust.org.
Okay.
And go to the Alder Creek Farm site, and mm-hmm. there's a page all about the gardening. It has a copy of our brochure, information about our garden, what we do on an annual basis, and a contact email for myself, Karen@nehalemtrust.org. So,
and do you have a deadline for when you need to hear by, you know, preferably?
You know, the earlier the better, because then we can understand what you're interested in, because we want to make sure that we meet the volunteers' needs for what they're interested in.
Okay.
We also just like to get to know people.
Yeah. So have a little bit of getting to know you before you dig in and literally dig in and start gardening together.
Yeah. But we do allow people to join mid-season if they're not available at the time that the garden starts up. So that's not a problem. We have 3 open garden sessions a year in the summer. So watch the website for that and listen to information that comes out on the various sources.
Probably on this very radio station.
Probably. June, July, and August, we have our open garden sessions. Wonderful. So for people that can't sign up for the whole season but want to get involved, they can do that that way.
And I wanted to ask you, too, because you talked about the sharing aspect of this garden, and it's very inspiring to me. I think it's wonderful that for the people who are showing up to garden, that they then get to take home a share of the harvest from what they're helping to grow. But you also have a big commitment that you guys have been making for a number of years now, donating to the food bank down there in Tillamook County. It's a North County
Food Bank.
Food Bank. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned also expanding to a new program as well. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the North County Food Bank has been in partnership with the trust for a number of years, and we have been very fortunate to work together. We do the growing and harvesting. They do the distribution, and we also partner in education, trying to make sure that they've got some recipes on how to prepare some of the foods that we provide.
That is so great.
It's really one of the feel-good portions of it, and people who really want to give to the community remark about two elements that give them the most satisfaction. It is the camaraderie, mm-hmm. and that sense of community, and then the ability to help others that need that help. But we have, luckily, the economy since 2008 has turned around a bit, and we had some excess that we've now begun sharing with the Senior Meals Program.
That's so great.
Well, it's really fun because I remember my parents and my parents' parents, they had their victory gardens. They really depended on, knowing where their food came from and producing for themselves. And to see some of those seniors' eyes light up when they find turnips, rutabagas, some of the things that kale, Swiss chard, things that, a lot of our modern cooks may or may not know how to prepare.
May not be so excited about.
Yeah, but they totally do. And
it's so great that they're excited about them, too, because those vegetables have so much potential and they can be so delicious. And I think a lot of times people turn up their nose at them, but sometimes maybe it's not understanding how to prepare them properly and all the delicious opportunities that are there with a rutabaga. Rutabaga is one of my favorite vegetables.
Roast them. All of the vegetables. If you will roast them, they are so sweet.
I like to mash them, too. I'm kind of shameless. Yeah. I'll do a half rutabaga, half potato mash. Oh, so good.
Cauliflower mash.
Oh, yum. Yeah.
You can nothing's better than adding garlic.
This is true. Do you guys go grow garlic?
Oh, yes, we do. And I guess my love of gardening is really because I'm a foodie. I love good, fresh food. And being able to give nutritious, just-picked food. Tuesday morning, we pick it. Tuesday afternoon, the food bank distributes it.
Wow.
It's really lovely because it's high in nutrition.
Yeah.
And people that are in food security issues need better nutrition, better awareness of, healthy foods.
Well, and the freshness, too. I mean, I find when food is really fresh, it just tastes better. And I think sometimes people have a perception that they don't like vegetables. And sometimes I think it's just that they're not eating really fresh produce. I mean, when things get old, they do get a little bit softer. Maybe their texture isn't as good. Their flavor isn't as bright. And so give fresh produce a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes if you're eating, broccoli that's a week and a half old, it's maybe not the most delicious, but if it's just picked and all of the sweetness and flavor is right there, it can be amazing.
Well, and as a farmer, you also know the varieties.
Absolutely.
Market varieties at the grocery store mm-hmm. are different than varieties that you grow in your own garden mm-hmm. because of shipping, handling, the commercial food system in our world. Mm-hmm. I was going to say country, but in the world, really it's a global situation. They grow produce that is mass produced
for storage
and handling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can grow varieties in your own home garden
that
tastes so much better. Do a side-by-side taste. Go buy a beet in the Safeway, Fred Meyer, the market of choice that you have. And then get one fresh out of the ground and do a side-by-side taste test, and you will be amazed in the difference.
Yeah, the sugars are often really there, are present when you first harvest, and then everything starts to decline. And that's just, part of it is when you can harvest from your own garden, you're going to get really fresh, delicious tasting food. Mm-hmm. And so wonderful that you're able to harvest and then distribute right away. Do you experiment every year? Do you try new varieties? Because I know it's... both as a gardener and as a farmer, it's been my terrible weakness. Like when those seed catalogs arrive and you just see all the things that you want to grow, it's really hard for me not to try something new every year. So do you do any trials? Do you experiment?
It's like candy, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I would probably say some harder drugs for me, really.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah. So I do a little bit of experimentation. We have our tried and true. There are certain varieties that just do better in our climate. Mm-hmm. There are frequently people say, oh, grow beefsteak tomatoes or grow these big heirlooms, and they just don't do well in our cold, cool season. So we have tried and true varieties, which, by the way, we grow for our own garden, but we have a big greenhouse, so we also grow for a plant sale every year.
So, Nan, tell me, when is your plant sale? What time of year does it take place?
It is the last Saturday of April.
Okay.
And this year it is on the 29th, I believe.
Wonderful.
And it starts at 9 o'clock. The varieties, like I said, are selected specific for our coastal region. And it is a huge popular event. So come early, because I try to calculate, second guess, predict, you know, the demand, but it's growing every year. So,
And that's such a great way to have for people to have access, because not everyone is comfortable starting their own seeds or has the ability to start their own seeds. But if you can get plants that are grown that are geared for our coastal climate, it makes such a difference.
It's huge.
Because it is very different, even just from the Willamette Valley. You can talk about varieties that do well on the Pacific Northwest, but coastal Pacific Northwest is very different from Valley Pacific Northwest. And what's going to do well, I mean, you know, in the Valley, they can grow those huge beefsteak tomatoes. And, you know, different fruits that take a really long, much longer time to ripen. And out here, we have to really be careful and aware of, like, our cooler summers, our cooler growing climate. Mm-hmm. So it's great. And then I imagine people can also talk to people from the garden at the plant sale that can give them some advice.
They can. Insight. And other gardeners that come to shop, because we tend to get our community, and I'm talking about the bigger growing community, that people come down from Astoria, Cannon Beach, and up from, you know, Nestucca and the surrounds and shop, because they know that that is, you know, going to be varieties that they can be successful with. And it's really fun to see people. Like when I see you at various markets, it's like, oh, how you doing? What did you try this year and what worked well? So,
which goes back to that community building too.
Yeah.
Which
and
is so
back
wonderful.
To your question of, do we do experimentation? Yes, we do. Some with great success, some we've had failures.
Yeah.
But you know what? There is never a total failure. And
well,
you know, because we
learning.
Learn from it.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. You got it. Full circle.
And learning is good. I know it's interesting how they all interconnect. And now learning, I know that you do, in addition to the plant sale and then like you have your community garden days, you will do other workshops throughout the year. And I know that you've got one coming up very soon. This show's being broadcast in early January. And you've got one about pruning coming up soon, don't you?
Yeah, the first. Well, I guess it's officially the second. No,
it's the first Saturday.
Yeah, it's the 7th. It's the 7th. I'm thinking, oh, New Year's Eve. Yeah, okay. Yes, it's the 7th.
So January 7th. And
January
tell us
7th,
a little bit about
that,
the timing, and then what it's about.
Well, you know, our plants need to be pruned every year in order to stay productive and in their best health. And we happen to be very fortunate to have a board member on the trust who's also a professional arborist. And his name is David Sipp, and he does an annual pruning workshop. It's hands-on.
And this is for your fruit trees.
This is for all the fruit trees.
So
yeah,
exciting.
It's perfect because we have, as I mentioned, some of those heritage trees that are mature trees. So if you need to recondition a tree, you can get information about that. If you have a younger tree, how to prune it to create the correct structure so that it doesn't get out of hand and you can harvest it properly and have the best productivity year over year. And, you know, a lot of trees fruit trees will produce well one year and not the next. Mm-hmm. And he addresses that, how to balance that out.
Well, anytime you have the opportunity to talk with someone who really understands their subject. And then for me, I always learn better when I'm watching someone, physically watching them do something. And with pruning, it can be kind of intimidating, especially like pruning fruit trees. You're standing there looking at this tangle of branches and thinking, which one do I lop off? And, you know, I always get into a complete insecurity panic. Like, am I going to kill the tree? Am I going to, you know, just completely screw up my crop for next year? So being able to watch someone and have them explain in the moment why you would cut this branch and not that one.
Right.
I think
and he'll
wonderful.
Show this. Yeah. Show us hands-on and then take you to tree and say, okay, now, which one, and give you guidance. There is no charge for this.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
So you can come to the farm. Mm-hmm. We're going to start at 10 a.m. Saturday the 7th, and bring some gloves if you have them. We have extra if you don't. Uh-huh. Bring your favorite pruning shears if
dress
you have them.
Dress warmly.
In layers, yeah. And for all eventualities of weather, we do have a barn there. We'll be pruning for about 3 hours, and then afterwards we have a new winter work series that's called Weed and Feed. And no, it is not a chemical application, but we do some sort of gardening workshop or project, and then we go out and have a little lunch. It's a no-host thing, but it's kind of fun. It's, again, building that sense of community.
That's so wonderful. And weeding, too, especially this time of year, it's interesting how a lot of times people, you know, maybe sort of end of October, they walk out of their garden, walk into their house, shut the door, and kind of think, oh, it's done for the year. I'm not going to go back there until April. But getting out into your garden and doing weeding and those kind of maintenance chores this time of year, that's really going to set you up for a great farm or garden season next year. So
it will.
It's great that you're also doing activities throughout mm-hmm. the year and taking care of those winter weeds.
And, you know, little bittercress or popweed is coming up right now. So
I see it all over the place.
Get it out now before it goes to seed.
Oh, I know. I've had that explode and the seeds go into my eye. And if you've ever tried to pick those seeds out of your eye, it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And they go so far. I know every year I think I'm getting them all out and I never do. So
yeah, but do yourself a favor and try to get them now if you can. And the other beauty is you can compost them now before they've gone to seed. And they
absolutely.
Make, you know, and composting, compost. That's really the big secret to successful gardening.
And
is
so your soil
building
must be
your soil.
Pretty amazing now.
It is. It's in fabulous condition. But you don't rest on your laurels either because you need to continually feed your soil. And so we have a master composter on our leadership group, which is
wonderful.
Lovely. We've just recently, this last year, we had a project where we focused on rebuilding our compost system. It's a 5-bin system.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So come down and check it out. It's really nice because we can use that to build our soil every single year.
So there's a lot of learning opportunities here.
There is.
I really encourage people, if you have the opportunity, if you live in the area and you want to get involved and you want to learn more about gardening, this is an awesome hands-on way to connect, not just with community, but to learn more about growing in this area. It's so great. I mean, I'm so impressed by the work that you guys are doing there. And that garden is beautiful. It is so inspiring
to
just be there and to see the possibilities. And to me, I think what's so great about it is that it really shows people how much can be grown in our coastal region and the variety of fruits and vegetables that are possible. And that's so inspiring for people. You may not have an acre to grow them, but you can look at what they're doing there and take away from that.
Right. In fact, we have a demonstration garden area that is applies some permaculture principles.
Oh,
and
nice.
So that is a much smaller footprint mm-hmm. and it is a defined area that people can utilize to envision what their own home garden could look like.
Wonderful. So tell people your website again and how they get in touch with you just one last time.
NehalemTrust.org.
Okay.
And there is a variety of different pages on there. But if you want to look at the garden specifically, go to Alder Creek Farm.
Uh-huh.
And then the garden tab.
That's so wonderful. Karen, thank you so much for talking to me today and for sharing information about this inspiring garden. I really encourage everyone to check it out. And if you're not going to participate in the community garden aspect of it, find one of the days when you can go visit this garden and be inspired. It's really wonderful.
Well,
thank
great.
You so much.
Great. Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks.